Good morning, everyone, and happy, oh, that's loud. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Andrew and Gemma are in London this morning. It's not actually Mother's Day in the UK, so they are just enjoying themselves. I think this was Andrew's idea of keeping me out of mischief while he's away. So many of you will know that we've started a series on the book of Ephesians, and Andrew did verse 1 and 2. We're going through it fairly slowly in an expository style, and this morning we continue with that. It's called fullness in him, because in Ephesians there are many moments where those words are used, in him, in Christ. I'm going to be going through it verse by verse, section by section. I've got a small section. I've only got a few verses to go through. I just want to start by saying the word is what sets us free. The word is what feeds us. It's vital that we understand the word mentally with our intellects, but that is not enough. And my aim and my goal this morning is that we go beyond understanding the words, because some of the things that we're going to look at this morning are actually pretty mysterious to us. But I want something to happen in that the word that we hear with our minds penetrates into our hearts and makes adjustment and changes us and sets us free in a new way as we allow the word to wash over us. It's God's intent that we understand, but it's also God's intent that his word is power and life and light to us. It's the place out of which we live and move and have our being. Paul quotes that in Acts. He borrows that phrase. So that's my aim this morning. Lord, please, Lord, we ask that not only would we understand your word with our minds, but it would penetrate into our spirits and be the place out of which we live and move and have our being, that it would impact on the way we walk, the way we conduct our relationships, the way we work. Amen. Some view Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, as one of the greatest letters of the New Testament. It doesn't deal with any issues in the church. It's just truth, which literally pours out of Paul. He's almost, in those first few verses, he's almost tripping over himself with excitement to tell us and get out what he wants to say. And it's not because he had too much coffee that morning. Need to remember the context. He's in prison. I'm not even sure if they had coffee then. He's in prison. So the question is, how can he be this excited about something when he's in prison? He doesn't have control over what happens to him. He doesn't know what his future on earth holds. He's at the hands of the Romans. Paul isn't praising God for material blessing, although the word does say that's important. Paul speaks about the treasure and blessing we have spiritually. And if we can grasp that, it affects everything. What treasure do we have spiritually? What treasure is available to us spiritually that we are not yet living in? Because it will change the way we live. These first verses, the first 12 verses, verses 3 to 14, are one long sentence, this long rambling sentence that goes on and on. It literally gushes out of Paul. They are a joyous outpouring of adoration. Michael Eaton describes them as a burst of praise. I love words and I love word pictures, so bear with me while I read through a few. John Stott records some of the descriptions he's come across that people have used to describe what these first few verses of Ephesians are like. Described like this, in a magnificent gateway, a golden chain of many links, a kaleidoscope of dazzling lights and shifting colors. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, do we see that when we read the word, a kaleidoscope of dazzling lights and shifting colors? A snowball tumbling down a hill, picking up volume as it descends. A racehorse careering onward at full speed. Also, this rhapsodic adoration is comparable to the overture of an opera, which contains the successive melodies that are to follow. And another, like the flight of the eagle, rising and wheeling round, as though for a while uncertain what direction in his boundless freedom he shall take. Isn't that beautiful? I want us to live in that boundless freedom, because there's something in these verses that Paul is so excited about that it is imperative for us to live the life God wants for us to somehow grasp. So my job this morning is to look at four verses. We're in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and my verses are 3-6. So as I said, our goal today is to gain understanding of these verses. I'll do my best. Correct understanding is vital. We can have right doctrine. We can have something clear in our minds, but are we able to live out of this place, out of this truth? Has it penetrated beyond just an understanding? And we'll explore a little more of that later. We want truth and the blessing expressed in the word to go beyond understanding and to penetrate into the depths of our spirits, that we live out of these truths. As I said, to live, move, and have our being out of these truths. So let's look at our verses for today. Ephesians 1, verses 3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. There's a lot going on there. The kaleidoscope, the snowball, it's all starting to happen. So let's go verse by verse. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Wow, so much blessing. Blessed, blessing, bless. Paul blesses God for blessing us with every conceivable blessing. I just want to add here that there are some weighty theological words we're going to look at, and I'm not going to get into the weighty discussion of these complex theological words. What I do want to say is that the very, very astute and marvelous minds that have been in Christendom over the centuries say of some of these truths that they still are baffled by them. They are mysterious. And isn't it our job in glorifying God to say, Lord, you are mysterious because you are God, and we don't want it any other way. So that's my small little disclaimer before we dive in. Paul seems to make deliberate reference to the Trinity, and I think it's important to note that at the outset. The origin of the blessing, God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father. The place of our blessing. We are blessed in Christ. Remember, the series is fullness in him. The place of our blessing is in Christ the Son. When we are in Christ, we receive God's blessings. And then the nature or type of blessing, every spiritual blessing. I mean, what does that even mean, every spiritual blessing? Which could mean every blessing of the Holy Spirit who applies the work of Christ to our hearts. We believe in one God, as we sang, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. So God blesses us by putting us in Christ. It was his plan all along. The gift of the Holy Spirit working in our lives comes to us because it is what Jesus gained for us by living a sinless life, suffering, dying, and rising. When we put our trust in Jesus, we are in Christ, and in Christ, every spiritual blessing is available to us. It's amazing to think that God the Father initiated all of this before he created the earth. How do you wrap your head around that? What a Father. We receive this blessing in Jesus. That's where we receive this fullness in him. John Stott says this: every blessing of the Holy Spirit has been given to us by the Father. If we are in the Son, no blessing has been withheld from us. Are we all living in that place? It's my prayer and desire that we will begin to live out of every blessing that we have in Him. It's mind-boggling and it's worthy of meditation. What does that mean to have every spiritual blessing? So what are these blessings? What has God blessed us with in Christ? Paul moves on to tell us. They relate to the past, the present, and the future. Today I'm going to be looking at the past blessing and the present blessing. In verse 10 of this chapter, it says the fullness of time. So in weeks to come, someone else will be dealing with that. So let's look at verse 4, which tells us about the past blessing. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. He chose us. You could use the word election there. It's a big theological word, which has baffled, as I said, the smartest Christian minds. It's a mystery, but it is scripture. So we accept it and embrace it, even if we don't fully understand it. Before the earth was formed, in pre-creation eternity. So just try and think about that. In pre-creation eternity, God did something. He formed a purpose in His mind, which concerned both us and His Son. I don't know, those of you who've raised young children, you get to that point in that child's life where they realize, and you can see it happening, things happened before I was born. So this photograph, I'm not there. I said, no, my boy, you weren't born yet. We were taking Gemma for ice cream and you weren't there. And it's that sudden realization that there was life before me. And this is a bit what this is like. God was doing things before He created the sun or the moon or the earth as we know it. God is eternal, and there was an eternity that stretched before He created. It's mind-boggling, but it's beautiful at the same time. God is that big. He's eternal. There's this statement here. It has three pronouns in it. He chose us in Him. He chose us in Him. God put us in Christ together in His mind. Before creation, we were in God's mind. He put Christ and us together in His mind, in His plans. We did not exist yet, but God had already decided to make us His children through the redeeming work of Jesus. I'm not going to try and explain what that means. It's a mystery. It's the beauty of who God is. It's the beauty of the gospel. It's the beauty of what redemption means. So you want to ask, well, didn't I choose Jesus? Didn't we choose Jesus? Yes, you did choose Jesus, but also He had already chosen you. It was already His desire and plan to redeem us. Which leads us to, so that's our past blessing, that leads us to our present blessing. Verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons, that includes male and female, sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. It was His will. He destined that we would be His children. He destined, before He created the earth, that we would be His sons and daughters in Christ. The Bible speaks of sonship, and that word suggests rich privileges. They're responsibilities too, and God is a Father who disciplines the children He loves. But the privilege are we rescued from judgment by believing in the price paid by Jesus. We have free access to our loving, kind, gracious Father who promises to protect and provide, whose desire it is to fill us with joy, peace, and love. If we can embrace all of that in our spirits, we will live our lives a little differently, I think. Our relationships will be different. Verse 5 ends with, according to the purpose of his will. Verse 6 goes on to say, we'll look at verse 6 now, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In the beloved, fullness in him. His grace, what do we see from this verse? His grace is glorious. He has blessed us with this glorious grace. We are blessed by grace when we are in Christ. His grace enables us to be in Christ. It is right and good that we praise him for this glorious grace, this choosing, this adoption. And then it talks about the glorious grace which he has blessed us. And there's this idea that he has blessed us, but we bless him because it's right that he is glorified. It is right that God is glorified and praised so that we can see. When we praise and glorify God, it helps us see and savor how good he is. God does not need our praise, but he adopts us for his praise because it's good for us. We get fullness of joy when we praise and adore our Father. It's the power of God's word and the Holy Spirit who brings the power of God's word so that we can live in the truth written. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I think I said that sentence really badly. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the power of God's word to us so that we can live in that truth. God's word is power and life and light. It's so important that it goes beyond our minds, as I said, and our understanding, and into our spirits so that we can be changed by it, really changed by it. I just want to go back to verse 5 for a moment. It is God's desire and plan to adopt us. That's what he's done. He's adopted us as his sons and daughters, that we live in the full blessing of this. He wants us to understand what this means. And I just feel today to linger on this a little bit. Because while I was preparing, I felt God show me that many of us live with a spirit of abandonment or rejection, and it hinders our ability to live in these truths that we've looked at. We think, I know I'm a child of God, I know this, but for it to actually penetrate into the very being of who we are, into our spirits, God needs to deal with those things that prevent us from really embracing it. And I felt the spirit of abandonment and rejection. And my prayer is that we would all grasp this with our spirits. And you might never have been abandoned by your parents. I wasn't abandoned by my parents. And yet there's something in possibly my sinful nature, in things that have happened to me, and possibly the enemy who's at work to keep us away from God and not live in the reality of what this incredible truth means, that stops us. These verses are telling us about who we are and whose we are. We are not orphans. And yet some Christians walk around with that feeling of being a little on the edge, being a little abandoned, rejected, with a slight orphan sense within them. But we've been adopted by God the Father. He predestined it. He planned it before he created anything else. He planned it all for his joyous love towards us. Lord, by your Spirit, I pray that you enable us to live in this reality. My words can't do what you need to do this morning. But where there are things stopping us from fully embracing what it means to be adopted by you in Jesus, we ask that you cut through now by your power and might, that we can fully embrace and live out of this beautiful place. Something I've found that has an impact on our lives and our relationships is that these things that I've spoken about, this abandonment or this whatever it is, sometimes feelings of shame or unworthiness attach themselves to that spirit of aloneness or abandonment, which the enemy wants us to live in that place. And if we read further, we see that Paul breaks into prayer. He's writing and he's writing. He's so desperate, it's gushing out of him. And then he realizes, no, I've got to break into prayer because these people need to have this revelation. It's so vital. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 provides some powerful imagery for us. I love this scripture. God speaks through Jeremiah. God says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" And as I've been preparing, I've been saying, Lord, your word is a fire that burns, and it's a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And so I've been praying for you that, and for myself, that these truths, this word that's come to us, would be like a fire and a hammer, that where there's hardness in our hearts or an inability to fully grasp them in our spirits, that word would come like a hammer and break the rock. The fire would come and do its work according to God's word. So Lord, according to your spirit and your word, be that fire. Let your word be that hammer, Lord, that we would enjoy every spiritual blessing, that we would be able to live as sons and daughters in Christ, joyously loved by you, that we would truly know your glorious grace, and that we would know, Father, that we are your much-loved children. Mark, can I hand over to you at that point?